Blog Talk Radio.
To all the hard-fighting soldiers out there this morning on the battlefield doing the best in the service of the Lord. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and I am Gernard Reed, host of the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And what? You are not a hard-fighting soldier? What? You are not on the battlefield? And I want to give you a word today. I want to bring a word from the Lord that will get all the soldiers on the battlefield and introduce and bring new soldiers into the kingdom. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Our contact information is telephone 804-313-7853. Again, get your pencils and paper. Well, we hope that you will find something in this broadcast that you want to write down and check us on later. And I certainly welcome you to contact us, to reach out, send us your feedback, your requests, questions about the scriptures, because Jeremiah Speaks is now on Monday through Friday, along with the fivefold ministry, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock p.m., Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock p.m., the same dial-in information, and we're on the air. Send us your questions. On Friday nights, we will try to address some questions along with a few other things that we do with Jeremiah Speaks. But on this morning, our contact information is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. And our scripture this morning is coming from St. Luke, the 11th chapter and verse 42, St. Luke, the 11th chapter and verse 42. And it reads, this one scripture simply reads, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manners of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manners of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." This is the word of God for the people of God. "Even so, saith the Spirit." Many, many years ago, I was at my great-grandmother's house, and she gave me a form where someone in our family was taking orders for dinners to be sold for some foundation or something that children were in. But nonetheless, they were selling dinners, and they had made a form. And on the form, you simply check the box, and it would be your dinner order. And then on that day, you just call your name, and boom, you pick up your dinner. And so that was a fella who was courting somebody in the family. This fella, Larry, had already filled out his dinner order. And so while I was filling out my dinner order, I couldn't help but to glance over in the stack and see Larry's order on the top of the stack. So as I looked at Larry's order, all you had to do was check the box. So it had a box that says, "Do you want ham?" There's a box there. "Or turkey?" And there's a box beside turkey. In the middle of ham and turkey, Larry penciled in, "Yes." Then the next block, the next line said, "Do you want peas?" There's a box. "Or do you want carrots?" There's another box. In between the two boxes, Larry penciled in, "Yes." Next line said, "Corn or green beans?" Larry said, yes, cornbread or roll? And Larry said, yes. I thought that was the funniest thing. I thought that he had approached this in the funniest way, and I just chuckled and laughed. But guess what? Almost 40 years later, I'm saying I'm getting more like Larry all the time. I wish I had a church that would say, amen. Do you want righteousness or glory? Yes. Amen. Do you want the Father, Son, or the Holy Ghost? Yes. Do you want love or peace? Yes. I'm getting more like Larry all the time. And the main nature of this lesson, this story that Jesus gives today in Luke 17:17, Jesus healed 10 lepers. And he told them, go and show yourself to the priest. We know the story. 10 left him. One came back. One came back a short while later when he realized that a change had come over him. And he came back and thanked Jesus. And then Jesus went on to say, where are the nine? How come only this one foreigner came back to say thank you? Well, Jesus had actually told them a command, go and show yourself to the priest. He didn't tell them to say thank you. But I'm saying to you today that they should have been like Larry. Go and show yourself to the priest and say thank you. Yes. What should they have done? They should have stopped and thanked Jesus and gone to show themselves to the priest. These things ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. A debate arose in the local church. Do we give to foreign missions or to home missions? I hear King Jesus saying, yes. It's not good enough for us to send money abroad and not take care of folk right at our doorstep. So the answer is, you ought to have done foreign missions and not to leave home missions undone. The Sunday school lesson asked us some years ago, do we keep on feeding the homeless or do we get a government program that teaches them how to support themselves? And the answer is, Larry would say, yes. Matthew 7:22-23. Jesus says that many of you will say, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy and even cast out demons in your name? Jesus said, I'm going to say, I don't know you. Get behind me, you workers of iniquity. Wait, hold up, wait a minute. These folk are saying that not only do we know who you are, but we have cast out demons in your mighty name. Not only do we know who you are, we have preached in your name. How can you say unto us, get behind me because I don't know you? Then what should we have done? Jesus saying, you should have done the will of my Father and done many works in my name. So Jesus' answer, I'm sorry, Larry's answer is, what should we have done? Should we have done the will of the Father, or should we have done many wonderful works? I hear Larry saying, yes. Jesus appears to be addressing a dual obligation of leading from the heart and remaining obedient to our habit. Leading from the heart or remaining obedient to our habit. The General Assembly here in Virginia several times now has had special sessions to deal with gun violence. And at the end of the session, the senator said, it all comes down to, do we spend more money on mental health or do we spend more money on eliminating gun loopholes? Let me say that again. Do we spend more money on mental health or do we try to eliminate the gun loopholes? I hear Larry saying, yes. And I hear King Jesus saying, these you ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. The background for this unique story comes from Luke. Well, starts with Luke chapter 9, verse 51, where Jesus leaves Galilee for the last time, departs Galilee and headed down to Judea, where Jesus knows what's going to happen. And all of these stops along the way point to that final day on the cross down in Jerusalem, point to some days later he arose from the grave, and then points to him ascending into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father with all power in his hand. But it began in Luke 9:51, the journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. But peculiar and unique about this particular story is the case of a Pharisee taking Jesus home to dine. How many know that the Pharisee didn't come across as Jesus' favorite people? He chastises the Pharisee again and again. In Luke 18, he says that a Pharisee and a sinner, the two of them went down to the temple to pray. And then you know at the end of the story, he's going to beat that Pharisee up for his hypocrisy. The only time Jesus mentions hypocrisy in the scriptures is always in connection with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the middle-class legal authorities in the religion of Judaism, and the Pharisees had mapped out all these laws and how God wants you to keep them. They had made a way that if you want to be right with God, here is the way. We mapped it out. The Pharisees were guilty of preaching a life that they were not living. But now we find out that the Pharisees led the group. They were not alone. There were also Sadducees. There were Herodians and scribes. But the Pharisees led the way to get Jesus crucified and to try to get rid of the Jesus problem. So it's peculiar for us. We also know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and Nicodemus came to a change, and Nicodemus came to face-to-face with being born again, and we also know that Joseph of Arimathea was probably a Pharisee, and he went through a change at some point and provided the wherewithal for the burial of Jesus. But here we see that a run-of-the-mill, common, everyday Pharisee has invited Jesus to dine in his own home. Jesus goes home with him, and we find that some chatter arises, and the chatter arises because it seems that Jesus didn't do the ritual of ablution. He did not wash his hands properly or publicly in the way that the Pharisees like to see the hands washed. It's no doubt that Jesus took some soap and water. Come on and talk back to me if you can. Jesus took some soap and water and washed his hands like we would, but he did not do the ceremonial cleansing that this highfalutin Pharisee required in his house. If you come to my house, we are so much higher and holy, we don't wash our hands like you do. Well, Jesus came under fire for that, so Jesus purposely engages the Pharisee in a dialogue in his own house about what's clean and what's not clean. Remember, Jesus is not reactive and is never caught off guard. Jesus is a proactive God. Jesus likely washed his hands, but evidently declined participation in the ceremonial and the ritual washing of ablution, showing off how holy I am. The highfalutin did this ritual for insurance against the sins of omission. Well, hello, and guess what? Jesus had no sins of omission, nor did he have sins of commission, nor did he have any kind of sins of any kind, because he was a sin-free man of God. So here, Jesus pronounces six woes upon the Pharisees. He looks at them and he observes, and he says, you know what? You tithe of mint and rue and all manners of herbs, yet pass over judgment and the love of God. You love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. You are as graves which appear not, and men walk all over them because they don't even know the graves are there. He says in verse 46 to the lawyers, you place heavy burdens upon men, yet don't lift one finger to help them. You build the tombs of the prophets which your fathers killed. You have taken away the key of knowledge. You didn't enter yourselves, and then you block those who would enter. Lord have mercy. Woes or curses upon the Pharisees and the scribe leads us to our text. Once Jesus described the hypocritical nature of the Pharisees and the scribes, he pronounces six woes. In fact, the Pharisaic connotation is the only use of this word, as I said before, hypocrite. Only time Jesus uses the word hypocrite is when he's talking about the Pharisees. So the Pharisee is synonymous with what I call church folk. You know church folks, to work with me if you can. I didn't say Baptist. I didn't say Pentecostal. I didn't say Presbyterian. I didn't say Lutheran. I said church folk. Church folk religion is a religious devotion to church issues rather than the mission of the church. We know the mission of the church, go teach and baptize. Jesus gave the church its mission. He gave us our assignment. But church religion is a religious devotion, a Pharisaic devotion to church issues rather than the mission. It's a devotion to sacred vessels, to preserving traditions, to keeping schedules, to giving and receiving credit, to proper introduction. What color robes should we wear for the ceremonies? And who can do what in this church? The same hypocrite demon which Jesus dealt with 2,000 years ago is alive and busy operating in churches across the globe today. These are you to have done and not to leave the other undone. The Pharisees were boasting of how often and how well they did and went above that which was required. Jesus chastised their commitment to cleaning the outside of the cup, yet never noticing the filth on the inside. Ouch, somebody. We might compare that to penny smart, but dollar stupid. Jesus is talking to and about the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. To perform an obligation of the law without having the spirit of the law is to take and labor in vain. Who is the neighbor in the story of the Good Samaritan? The one whose love for the wounded used the law to loose rather than to bind. So now in Luke 11:42, the crust of this text is Jesus says, you are so thorough in your tithing. You go way above and beyond when it comes to tithing. You go above and beyond tithing on the increase, as the law says. You do a little extra. You even tithe on your spices, which is previously unheard of, Pharisees. How can you tithe, your tithe be so deliberate, yet you totally miss judgment and the law of God? In our service and giving, here are two guiding principles that work us through this message. The first one is the heart, and the second one, let's do the heart first. The first one is the heart, and the second one is the habit. The heart is the love, judgment, mercy, and faith. Matthew 9:13, but go and learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Sincere disciples lead from the heart. Oh, I wish I had a witness here that would kind of say amen with me. Talk back to me if you can, that somebody would say that a sincere disciple leads from the heart. Or the second one is habit. Sound structure and based upon good teaching, steeped in obedience and following procedures. Implementing procedures requires little thinking. It's almost like it comes natural to you. That's called a habit. But Larry would say, it's not a question, Pharisees, of heart or habit. It is a matter of yes to heart and habit. Christians are required to have both. Say you got religion and you don't love? How can you love the one that rules with love? You say you got religion, but you don't love. How can you love the one who rules above? You say you love God, but you don't tithe or worship. Lord, I love you with my mouth, but my habits speak otherwise. Do we need a reconciliation of our hearts and our habits? Do we? Do our behaviors match our beliefs? Are our hearts and habits reflective of God within? And is our faith as predictable as our faithfulness? Ooh, that's a powerful one there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, is our faith as predictable as our faithfulness? In other words, we're there, in place, on time to do something, but it's not led by faith what we do. When we align our hearts and our habits, our love produces much fruit. When we align our hearts and our habits, our mercy produces much fruit. When we align our hearts and our habits, our sound judgment produces much fruit. When we align our hearts and our habits, Our faith produces much fruit. And even our faith, excuse me, even our fruit produces much fruit. When the church aligns its heart and its habits, the church moves to the front of the line. When the church assumes its rightful place as the head, the church moves to the front of the line. When the church aligns its heart and habits, the church is a city that's set on a hill. When the church aligns its heart and habits, the church becomes the light of the world. When the church aligns its heart and its habits, the church shall ask what it will, and it shall be done. The church shall become then unstoppable. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The works that I have done, greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. Lord, have mercy. When the church aligns its heart and habits, the church will propel and excel to the next level of greater a work in Christ Jesus. Well, I got to close this thing out here. But I am reminded of a story that a friend of mine told me some years ago. And that this guy was a truck driver back then. He was a dump truck driver on construction site. And he said one day a man came on the site, one of the truck drivers. And the truck driver said, well, I'm going through something at home. I'm in some trouble at my house. And my wife told me that we got to sell some stuff. And we got to break down and sell some stuff to pay these bills. And he said, I got this Rolex watch that I bought on time and paid $7,000 for. I got a gold 14-karat gold Rolex watch that I paid $7,000 for, and I'm willing to let it go for $2,000. Well, the guy said he checked the watch out, and during lunchtime, he did some checking and found out it was indeed worth almost $7,000. And he said, I can get this for $2,000. What a steal. And so he bought the watch for $2,000, thinking in his mind, not only am I helping that man out, but look at me. Look at me when I walk into the church on Sunday morning. They're going to look at me and see me glistening with a $7,000 Rolex watch on. He told all the other truck drivers that were lined up on the side of the construction site, look at what I just got, a $7,000 Rolex watch. He placed it on Facebook. Look at me all dressed up and ready to go out. And on him was a $7,000 Rolex watch. And he said he went home that evening happy as a lark. Skipping, and he went to his apartment in D.C., and he said he was just happy because he had with him a $7,000 Rolex watch when he got up the next morning. He got up, and he took the $7,000 Rolex watch, and he put it in the corner underneath something in his apartment. He said, Lord have mercy, if some of them young boys come and break in here and steal my $7,000 Rolex watch, I'll be in the worst kind of way. And so he hid it. And while he was at work that day, and the guys were patting him on the back because he had moved up to the next level, and he had a $7,000 Rolex watch upon his possessions, and he began to think all day long, I told everybody on this job, so every time a truck pulls off and doesn't come back, they might be headed down to my apartment to steal my $7,000 gold, not gold-plated, but 14-karat gold Rolex watch. And then he began to think all evening, I can't wait to get home and check and make sure that the watch is where it's supposed to be. And so he got home that evening, and he said, you know what? That watch is not safe here in this part of D.C. in my apartment when some folk know that I got a $7,000 Rolex watch here in the apartment by itself. And so he jumped in his car, and he drove down to the country where he had a home in the country that he would go to on weekends. Well, he goes down on a weekday, and he goes in the house in the country, and he hides the Rolex watch down there in the country in the refrigerator. He comes back up the road, and he's wondering now the next day while he's at work, he's wondering, is it good to put a 14-karat gold Rolex watch in the refrigerator? Is it good to have it in the refrigerator that's at a given temperature that's just above freezing? Is that good, or can gold withstand anything? And beyond that, how many of my neighbors know Well, nobody knows down in the country, and nobody going to follow me from the city down in the country to get my $7,000 gold, 14-karat gold Rolex watch. And then he began to think, you know what? I can't wait for weekend to go down there and see this watch and make sure it's where I left it, get it out of the refrigerator. I found another place in the house that I can hide my $7,000 14-karat gold Rolex watch. And so he says, he went down. Well, he went to church on Sunday. He threw that 14-karat gold $7,000 Rolex watch on his arm. Went into the church just to strutting, and he was looking some kind of good. You know, back then they had the Jerry curl in the hair, and he had the Jerry curl in his hair, and he had a loud suit on, and he just kind of rolled that sleeve up a little bit and checked the time so everybody in the church could see that he had a 14-karat gold $7,000 Rolex watch in. So, well, he hid it in his new hiding place. He came up uptown and went back to work on Monday, and he told me, he said, you know what, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, he began to think about all the attention that he got at church for having on his arm a $7,000 14-karat gold Rolex watch. And he began to think, I don't know them people down there like that, but they all know that I'm not home all week. And he said he made another trip down to the country. He retrieved the $7,000 14-karat gold Rolex watch. He took it downtown, and he sold the watch, and he got almost what he paid for it. And he delighted and was so happy to walk away with the burden lifted of worrying about a $7,000 14-karat gold Rolex watch. And why am I going way over there and talking about a 14-karat gold $7,000 gold-plated watch? Because watch this right here. He had a new habit that did not align with his heart. He didn't have any business with a 14-karat gold, $7,000 gold Rolex watch. He didn't know how to wear it and display it like somebody that was supposed to have it. When he wore it, he was worrying about who was looking at him. When he wore it, he was worrying about what kind of status symbol am I. And when he didn't have it with him, he was worrying about what's going to happen to my $7,000 14-karat gold Rolex watch. I'm saying to you today that I'll habits need to match our heart. Our habits need to be coming from our heart. Our habits are not just something that we do ritually, but our habits must become something that we do spiritually. If we got a watch on that doesn't match our character, get rid of the watch and build the character. Jesus says, these things ought ye to have done and not to leave the other alone. Larry said, shall I have faithfulness and devotion to God, or unending love for Almighty God and obedience? Larry would say, yes, to you today I say, these things ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. This is the word of God for the people of God, even so saith the Spirit. These things you ought to have done, not to leave the other undone. Do it all in the name of Jesus. I want to send up a prayer this morning to those in the past week that suffered from Hurricane Ian. And the hurricane is not totally gone from the East Coast yet, but I saw this morning that at least 70 people have died. Many have lost their houses, homes, neighborhoods have been destroyed, schools have been destroyed, and many are hopeless today. But I pray that you will pray with me right now. All wise, eternal God and our righteous King, Lord, we thank you for another day's journey and walk. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Lord, we pray for provisions right now for somebody that has been hurt by this hurricane, has lost a loved one, has been injured or damaged, have lost property, have lost hope and faith even. We reach out and pray for them in intercession, give a little of us to bless them a whole lot. Father, we pray for wherewithal. We pray for someone there that feels hopeless, that they get to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and be pulled out of that. We pray for the safety. We don't want to hear any more deaths, but we pray for those families that have experienced death. We pray your blessing and mercy upon the rescue workers. Lord, we pray that you will bless and take off the curse of the people in Florida and South Carolina and beyond. Father, we ask and offer all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Stay tuned for the Fivefold Ministry.
You again and again. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We just heard from Jeremiah speak, Reverend Reed. Truly, that was a great word in the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in with us. Truly, we love him, and that was an awesome, awesome word. I would encourage you each week to tune in Monday through Fridays from 7 o'clock p.m. to 7:30, as well as on Sundays, we have the Jeremiah Speaks from 8:30 to 9. God bless you. Sit back and abase yourself as we go into the inner courts and worship our God in spirit and in truth. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Amen.
Look at the neighbor and say, who, what, when, where, how, and how? Now ask him, do you know Jesus? Did you get an answer that? Tell me now is the time. The day you hear my voice, thou shalt harden not your heart. The word of God also said, you're wondering why your prayers ain't being answered. Anybody been through anything this year? I don't know about you, but lately the devil done pulled out all he can pull out on me. And the Lord told me in prayer, he said, Sean, it was designed to make your mind snap. It was designed for you to turn your back on God. But I want you to know, look at your neighbor and say, by the grace of God, I came to know God in his past. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner and my comfort. The El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. My pastor preached a sermon about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he gave a parable when God said, Gabe, I wonder, can you get there to deliver my boy? Gabe said, Lord, as soon as I put my harp up, I'll be there to deliver. God said, that ain't fast enough. He called on Michael and said, Michael, how fast can you get there? Michael said, soon as I put my sword up, I'll be right there. But God said, that ain't fast enough. But I heard Jesus from in the midst of the fire.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey!
Yes, come on, church. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. I feel all right. You know what I feel like they said? Hold my mule. I feel all right. Come on, let's go into the inner court. God bless you. Come on, let's praise him.
I you know I don't go nowhere unless I do the war.
Hey.
We need 1 minute to just kind of change the atmosphere. You got me there? You're not sitting next to somebody who's defeated. Get your feet ready.
I want to ask you this morning, what do you have? I hope you have Jesus on your mind. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast, and I feel like praising God. Come on, let's go into the inner course and praise him just a little bit more. God bless you. God bless you again and again. Just wake up. Be grateful that you woke up in the land of the living. Truly, our God is a good God. Yes, he is. Let us go in and just praise God just a little bit more. God bless you again and again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. Amen. yes, yes. I love them to say, what do you have? Good God Almighty. You know, we just heard from Give Him Glory. We just love it so much. It is a musical selection. As I say to you always, this is our disclaimer, that we are here to promote the musical sounds of the artists that God has given them from on high, from Zion. We don't own the rights to the music. They do, so it's for promotional reasons only. Truly, we love the Lord, and we want to encourage you to worship Him in spirit and truth. Get those CDs so that you can be inspired, motivated, and encouraged. Well, we're going to slow it down just a little bit. I'm going to play a favorite hymn by Aretha Franklin that Dr. Martin Luther King, it was his favorite. Precious Lord, take my hand. Good God Almighty. Good morning to you. I'm trying to say, hold my mute so I can get through and just minister. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well,
you need some love and care.
Uh-huh.
Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing.
Songwriter says, precious Lord, take my hand. You know what? I don't want nobody else to take my hand but the Lord. Good God Almighty. Because I know I could depend on God. You know, I should have played that song. I know I can depend on Jesus. Good God Almighty. You know, when all else has failed, when there is nothing and nobody else that you can depend on, you know that you can depend on God. Good God Almighty. Woo! I feel all right. Heard that good preaching this morning from Reverend Reed, and I'm fired up. Good God Almighty. You know, with so much that's going on in the world, we got to be mindful. I'll say it again. We have to be mindful that God loves us and we are His believers. You know, we believe in a death, burial, and resurrection, and I would encourage all of you who do not know Him to know Him for yourself. Because at a time like this, You know, you hear on the news wars and rumors of wars and the changes of the seasons and the weathers and everything that's going on, the prejudice in the land. Oh, my God, the disharmony. But we need God, hallelujah, to come in our life. Good God Almighty. This is why Aretha sung the song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Because we need God to take our hand. Nobody else, but we need the Lord. Matter of fact, that beautiful song, as I say, was a favorite of Dr. Martin Luther King. He said that Aretha Franklin, that was one of his greatest songs that he heard that really inspired him as he was going through the civil rights for all men of all color and all creeds. Matter of fact, let us listen to a little bit of that tape right now as we go into the intercourse. But let us remember those leaders who stood for us. Amen.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, My Country, Tears of Thee. Sweet land of liberty of thee, I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cried, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the crevasseless slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Yes, that was salute to Dr. Martin Luther King that says that I have a dream. All of us should have a dream that we are to be grateful that we all live together on this earth and that God has put breath in our body. Good God Almighty. You know, you need to wake up and not worry about the color of the skin, not worry about the situations that's around you, not even worry about what you're going through, but you need to know how to abase yourself and love the Lord and just be grateful that you are in the land of the living. We thank God so much for that speech this morning that is not denominational, it's not racial, it's not even gender. It's not dealing with male, female, black, or white, but it's dealing with the power of the Holy Ghost that we need to live together, to dwell together, be grateful together. Good God Almighty. I told you I feel all right. I need somebody to help me to hold my mute this morning. Good God Almighty. Woo! Oh, God, I thank you. I love you, Lord. Woo! I'm trying to calm down. Let us listen to Walter Hawkins. Let us be grateful. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. All right. Songwriter says, be grateful. You know, looking at the news over the weekend, as I know you are aware, that it says that the East Coast is dealing with some terrible storms and flooding, that people have lost their lives. Good God Almighty. That's why it is so important that you try to do right and live right and be right for God, because you never know the day or the hour. So we had dedicated earlier today that prayer for those families to be strong, those loved ones that has gone on. And we want to just encourage them that we know, as Cassandra George said, that when they walk around heaven, hey, hallelujah, they don't have to worry about no more troubles because God got it. If God can't do it, it just can't be done. Good God Almighty. Woo, just turn it all over to Jesus. Woo, God bless you. Woo, amen and amen. Amen.
I'm gonna
laughing child. Nobody will be able to put me out.
All right.
My mother will be waiting.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, you have to have the faith that there is something beyond the human eye. We love the Lord so much that we know that if God can't do it, it just can't be done. We love the Lord today. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. I thank all of the radio audience for tuning in to us. God bless you today. As each and every week we're on this radio station, we come to exalt, edify, and encourage you to know there is eternal life, to know there is a better place where we can walk around heaven all day. I believe God. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it for me. Woo! But if you like to email us, oh, my God, I'll say it again. Hold my mute. I feel like running and shouting. Woo, to my father. Oh, my God. I'm so fired up this morning. Woo. But in any event, our email is ffmw.inc@verizon.net. Again, our email address is F like five, F like Frank, M like worldwide, W, I'm sorry, I can't get it together. You know what? I told you I'm so fired up. I can't get myself together this morning. I just love the Lord. Oh, I just love him so. You know, when you think about how God will make a way for you, how God is making a way for you, that you just love him, that you just get caught up. You know, they say when the Holy Ghost take over, good God Almighty, that you shift in a whole nother direction. They said, you know, let God have his way. So you can't follow a regular program all the time because you got to just trust the leading of the Holy Ghost. I want us to just trust God this morning as we listen to Charles Ford and the Charles Ford singer that God will make a way. Hallelujah. I feel like praising God. Amen.
Thank you.
Listening to the Five-Fold Ministry.
Yes!
You're listening to the Five-Fold Ministry broadcast, and I feel like praising God. Hey! Him for myself, and I don't need nobody else. Good God Almighty. Woo! I feel like praising God. I'm so glad I got a second service today. Woo! I'm going over to see my friend, Dr. Pat Stewart, the worldwide radio personality herself. She'd like to go into the inner court and praise God. Matter of fact, her ministry is called the International Faith of Worldwide Prayer. She liked to praise God, too. Woo! Okay. Let's try it again. You're listening to the Five-Fold Ministry, P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Woo! I'm going to try to email ffmw.inc at verizon.net. I'm acting silly today because I feel all right. You know, it's nothing like praising God, that you just love him so. You just love to go into the inner court. You like to abase yourself and just enjoy it. You know, all some of those songs that I'm trying my best with. Want to look at Luke chapter 11, but I'm trying my best because when I think about the goodness of Jesus, when I think about where he brought me from, oh, my God, there is nothing like the Lord. You know, he worked it out so many times for me. He has brought me through. And I thank the Lord that he was blessing me, that God can do anything but fail. You know, he blessing you this morning that we were able to get through the storm. We were able to break bread and fellowship and we're able just to sit here and abase ourselves and go into the inner courts. And as always, I said, if God can't do it, it just can't be done. So turn with me, get your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, and let us just go ahead and abase him. You know, because it's talking about that you need to decide what is important, what is really important when you, you know, go into the sanctuary, when you go into the house of the Lord. Are you going there so man can see you? Are you going there just so that you can get that recognition or get that pat on your back? Are you going there to give God the praise and just thank him for what he done for you in the land of the living, the seen and unseen dangers that you know nothing about? Uh-oh, I see it coming. Here it is. That when you love the Lord so, you forget about your left and your right. You forget about everything that's around you and think about his goodness, how he brought you through the storm. Woo! How he kept you from all hurt, harm, and danger. How he made a way when all hope was lost. Hey, when the doctor said that, you know, it don't look good, but you can count on God. Good God Almighty. If Jesus can't do it, it can't be done. I'd rather put my hands in God's hands any day than man. I just want to encourage you that the Lord is blessing you right now. Matter of fact, let us listen to Bishop Larry Trotter and Sweet Hope Holy Church. Whew, the Lord is blessing you right now. I'm trying to hold my mute. Good God Almighty. Amen. Us right now. We love him so. Good God Almighty, how we love the Lord. I would encourage you to all the listeners around the world. You know, I told you before, I don't know why China was impressed on my heart all the summer. Things were just digging in me deep about China. And I prayed for that country, that nation of people. And, you know, you have to pray much for them and Taiwan, as well as this United States, because with the United Nations, there are other countries that's around the world will try to keep the peace before there is war. And we don't want any wars to break out anywhere, you know, because we have this nuclear war, atomic bomb, and all this other. You know, we want mankind to continue. So we have to not only keep other nations in prayer, but our own nation as well, our nation here in the United States. And as we pray for Russia and Ukraine, we have to just praise God in the midst of the chaos. Hey, hallelujah. You know, because it says that God can do anything but fail. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, he know the plans that he have for us. So we got to turn it over to Jesus. If Jesus can't do it, it just cannot be done. Good God Almighty. I just want to encourage you today that God is able to take care of you. It may not look like, seem like, smell like, taste like, but you got to know that your God is able. As you just wake up in the morning and say, God, hear my, fill me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Protect me from all harm and danger as I walk out. Good God Almighty. Just turn it over to Jesus. We're going to turn it over to God. You know, when you worship God, worship him for real, all down in your soul. You know, when you used to hear that music sound good to you, you want to dance. But when you worship God, when you go into the inner courts and you go behind the veil, oh, hallelujah, everything that's inside of you should be stirred up so that you can praise him. Your hands should be lifted high. Your heart should be like, good God Almighty. You should feel, oh, the moving of the Holy Spirit, that when God moves, you should move. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, over looking at this chapter, I'm trying my best this morning. You got to pray for me because I'm thinking about the goodness of God. Ooh, don't think that I had a good week. Don't think that I had a happy time. I be under attack, too. Yes, I do. Yes, I go under attack, but I won't complain because I know that God is victorious. God got me. If he take care of the birds, he take care of the sparrow, God will take care of me. God will take care of you. He know every hair that's on your head. He knows you by name. Good God Almighty. He knew you in your mother's womb, regardless what you're going through. So, God, I turn it over to you. So, God, I leave it at the foot of the cross. So, God, I believe you can do anything but fail. Good God Almighty. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I forgot what I'm talking about because every time I think about Jesus, it said if you keep this mind on God, you will be in perfect peace. So, God, I want to pray for my mind this morning. I want to pray for everybody's mind, that our minds will be stayed on you, that our minds will look to the hills with cometh our help. No other help we know. Oh, God, we turn our minds over to you, God, that you would touch our minds. Help us to see with eyes that's right. Help us to see with love and not condemnation. Good God Almighty. Oh, God, bless us as we look out our eyes that we don't be judging others or we could judge ourselves. Good God Almighty. God, give us the tongue, God, to speak with kindness, with love, with exhortation. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, you said nobody can control the tongue but you. Oh, God, we ask that you help us to say kind words, that we won't chew out curse, talk about put down our brother. Hey, hallelujah, but we can lift him up in love. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, God, give us the eyes, God. Give us the eyes that we can see right, God, that we can see man, a man for who he is, a human being that's made in the image of you. That we can see man as our brother, God. That we can see that this man, our brother and our sister, so we can dwell together in love. Good God Almighty. Oh, God, go down to our hearts, Jesus. Go down to our hearts. If our heart is stony, God, if our heart is not right, hey, hallelujah. Oh, God, move it. Move it out of this cavity, so it can come back in right, God. It be fixated, oh, with love, not with condemnation or judgment or negativity. God, give us a clean heart. Hey, give us a pure spirit in you. Give us a rightful standing with you, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, stir up inside of us the gift, God. Stir up inside of us, oh, God, the plans that you have for our life, the purpose that you have for us. Hey, hallelujah, oh, God, just stir it up, God. Help us to put on the whole armor of God. Oh, God, as we reach out, God, let it be with kindness. Let it be as a good Samaritan. Let it be to lift somebody up. Let it be, God, that we are trying to up stand to hold up the banner of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, bless us in our going in. Bless us in our coming out. Oh, God, as we walk to and fro this earth, cover us, God. We ask him for a fresh anointing. Oh, God, we pulling at the hem of your garment. Oh, God, we ask that Michael and Gabriel, we give you charge to cover what God has made. We speak to the north, west, south, and east wind to cover and to blow the peace of God. Huh? Oh, God, as Jesus said, peace be still. Huh? Peace be still in our nations. Huh? Peace be still in our homes. Huh? Peace be still in our bodies. Huh? Peace be still in our minds. Huh? Oh, God, let peace be still, God, all in us. So everything that we're doing, God, give us your peace. Huh? Oh, God, give us the victory you said, God. Huh? If we can believe it, we can receive it. Huh? Oh, God, so we'll say to those mountains, oh, God, we'll say, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. Be thou removed, God, based on Calvary's cross. The blood of the Lamb, the lily of the valley, the Emmanuel, the hope, the Savior, the great I am, the Alpha and Omega. Hey, we give them all praise. Oh, God, El Shaddai, we love you, Daddy. Oh, God, cover us, your children. Oh, God, for those that don't know you, God, in the pardon of the sin, have mercy. Oh, God, you told the two thieves on the cross, God. You laid there and said nothing. You hung there, God, and you looked over and the other one said, remember me when you go to paradise. And, God, you said, this day you shall be with me. Oh, God, let it be this day, God. Oh, God, all through China, let it be this day. All through Africa, let it be this day. All through United States, let it be this day. All through Israel, let it be this day. All through Russia, let it be through this day. Oh, God, touch the people. Touch your creation. Oh, God, you breathe breath into our body. Yes, you did. Oh, God, you make us a little smaller than the angels a little lower. Hey, hallelujah. So you know we depended on you. Oh, we depended on you for our sustenance. We're dependent on you for the air we breathe. Hey, we're dependent on you for the waters. We're dependent on you for the fowls of the air. We're dependent on you to have dominion. Oh, God, you are dependency, God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, give them salvation today. Give them hope today. I decree and declare as apostle, prophet of God, good God Almighty. Oh, God, I decree the victory. I decree healing. I decree the cataracts come off their eyes. I decree the cancers will be here. That tumors will be dissolved. Oh, God, you said if we can believe it, we can receive it. I know you to be a daddy. I know you to be a father. I know you to be a friend. I know you to be a doctor. I know that you're the God that I serve. You can do anything but fail. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Woo, if I was had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't say I love you enough. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God. Woo. I just want to say that God is able. I was trying to tell you, turn to your Bible, Luke chapter 11, verses 42, but I'm gone, and I'm gone right now. I think the covering, the fathers, the mothers, all of those on the radio that's been praying for me. Woo, I need it, I need it, I need it. Oh, God, you know why? Because I know that there's things that's going to happen better. I just believe God. God is in charge. He's in charge of this world. He's in charge of this earth. He can do anything but fail. He made the heavens above, the heavens below. We just want to pull at the hem of his garment. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, all I can say, the moral of the story of Luke, you got to read it for yourself today. That the Pharisees pretty much had felt like they was important. You know, they got ahead of themselves. They start smelling themselves. They got a little cocky. They believe that because they gave their tithes and their offering, they believe that because they were standing out in the marketplace praying so people could see them, they believe that they, because they put on those sacred robes, they believe they had a gateway to heaven. Oh, hallelujah, God forbid. It's not required. It is not required. I'll say it again. It is not required to get the approval of man. Ha! But you want the favor of God. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, he said pay your tithes, your tithes. In Malachi 3, yes, he said that we are to dwell among each other as brothers and love each other the way we want to be loved and treat our neighbors as a friend. As a good Samaritan, we are supposed to have peace abroad, peace in the land, peace in our city. That's the only way that a change is going to take place. That's the only way that you will see a difference in a community. You will see a difference in a society. If you want to see a difference, then you have to trust God to know that only he can make things that's wrong right, things that's crooked straight, that only God can do it. So I want to say to you, you know, that don't forget the most important thing is to live in harmony and in peace and to be long-suffering. Don't do things to be a show-off like the Pharisees who wasn't practicing love, mercy, and compassion. You know, they was, look at me. You know, you see a lot of people like that today because they have the shiny coins, the shiny clothes, the shiny money, and all that thing that look good on the outside because it's wealth. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the real deal, you don't have compassion and mercy and love, 1 Corinthians 13, then you have become none void, as they say, a sound and tickling brass. You know, it's not good if you don't have that substance, that foundation of the Holy Ghost. So it says that whatever you do, do it as you do it unto God, but not unto man. Woo, I made it through. Thank you so much for praying for us. But the only way, hey, hallelujah, that a change is going to take place when we ourselves change our mind, our hearts, our soul, our thinking, even what we hear out of our ears. You know, God has fixed it even with myself. When people say a lot of negative stuff, I get numb, and they don't understand why I don't hear them or why I don't react. Or what's the problem? God has fixed it, that it just fade out. If you say a lot of stuff, that thing is just like go in one ear and out the other. Because God don't want that to feed into my belly, feed into my soul. Oh, hallelujah, feed into my flesh. He want me to rise above criticism and negativity. Good God Almighty. Only you can make a difference, and only you can see the change that's coming. I like to play an old favorite that my mom and dad used to play. I told you I'm old country girl. I'm from the South. And I've heard this song with Thomas Owens and Chandler Moore. And a lot of times you're going to hear me play music that, to me, it takes me into memory of family in the inner courts and of God. Hey, hallelujah. I make no excuses for the praise and worship that I do. But I want you to be real and true to your God and worship him the way that can glorify him and that you know the Father will be pleased. Live right, do right, talk right, try to act right so a change can come. God bless you again. You've been listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Read Luke chapter 11 for yourself because I'm gone. Amen, amen, and amen.
The understand, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes, indeed.
Only you can make a difference.
Then I go. Say, brother, can you see what he winds up? think I'm able, Father, to carry on. It's been a long time in coming, but I know.
Yes, it says that a change is going to come. You know, that change will come when we change our mind, our attitude, and the way we think and treat other people. And not to be a showboaty Christian. Ah, I'll say it again. If I step on your toes, just say, ouch. A Christian where we want to be seen and recognized and heard and look at me. I don't know how people can try to impress people and don't want to impress God. You want to be able to, for God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, I've been in some situations that truly I wanted to leave, but I heard God say, hold on. A lot of us sometimes have suffered at the hands of other people, but we had to stand still. Good God Almighty. Whether it was a lesson that we had to learn, whether it was a situation that God wanted us to go through. You know, I even heard one time that I was like, God, why I'm in the valley of dry bones? Why am I standing here? And God showed me that sometimes that could be that person last go round, and you could be the last person that could minister to them, pray for them, or give them hope. Good God Almighty. You never know what your assignment is in God. But in everything, do it from your heart with true supplications, with humbleness, and with faith, trusting that he will lead you through that valley of dry bones so that change can come. God bless you again. Thank you for being patient with me. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. Woo! As we listen to Jeff Major's Psalms 23, because I'm gone. God bless you. I'm praising God today. Hallelujah. God bless you, and have a beautiful day in the Lord as you worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.